lovely cricket. Cricket lick the ball before it. Welcome along to 98 Not Out. I miss a cricket. I made it just in time because of the roadworks and the hold-ups and the three-way traffic lights. Anyway. Wish much. Welcome along to everyone, old and new, especially to Dan Hagger, who has already texted me. He's listening in. Lots to get through tonight. As always at this time of year, and as over the last few weeks, there's a lot of live action going on. England are in action in a T20 World Cup semi-final. Last I heard, it was raining out in Georgetown, Guyana. India were batting, but I'll give a more detailed update in a minute. Lovely cricket. Got to lick the ball before it reached the wicket. And on tonight's show, I'm joined by my good friend Debbie Knight from 365 Sporting Days. Evening, Debbie.
Evening. Sorry I was late.
It's all right. My keys against the wall. Debbie and I will be taking a look at a very eventful round of county championship matches that have just concluded. With a bit of news on the latest from the Essex Premier League. Music tonight, I've got an exclusive from, in fact, a world exclusive, I think. I don't think anyone else has got this, from Mark Butcher, who's very excited. He's got a new album coming out. And I've got an exclusive track to play for you tonight. Away from that, Debbie's in charge. She's asked for music from Teddy Swims and a musical extravaganza. Michael Olin. Lots to look forward to, so just strap yourselves in. Pour yourself a cold one. Turn the sound down on the telly. Turn the sound up. Whether it's on your radio, 98 FM. Via the internet, phoenixfm.com. Or shout at your smart speaker to play Phoenix FM. Many, many ways to listen. And of course, if you've got to be somewhere or you can't listen or you're just so excited you want to listen to it again, go to phoenixfm.com, look for 98 Not Out under programs. I will download tonight's show later on once I've got home and had some dinner. So by now, that if him lick any for me, they go ball out for more. Lick many for me, I go check out the school. Tell you about the sun, and you know feel. All right. Are we ready?
I'm ready.
Let's get going. It's cricket birthdays of the week. Started us off, Ramnaresh Sarwan, a very famous Guyanese. I was trying to tell Dom Topley about how many Guyanese test cricketers have come out. He was way off the mark. Also this week, Stuart Broad, 38. Vernon Philander, 39. Darren Bicknell, 57. Vic Marks, 69. Michael Pepper, 26. Jason Gallien, 53. Nick Compton, 41. Mark Stoneham, 37. The wonderful voice of Pommy Mbangwa, 48. And today, everyone's favourite pantomime villain, Kevin Peterson, is 44. Dale Steyn is 41. Graham Cowdery is 60. Wahab Riaz, 39. Rohit Sharma, 31. Paul Jarvis, 59. Tony Palladino, 41. And listeners, Mandy Berry, Rashmi Patel, Jonathan Wagstaff, Rita Patel, and Chris J. Happy birthday to all of you guys. And remember, if you want to be added to Cricket Birthdays of the Week, just email radio@phoenixfm.com or use Facebook Messenger. Yes, we are on Facebook. And we're on Twitter as well. And we're on Instagram. Just use all the messaging functions. Hey, look for 98 Not Out. I'm sure you've already subscribed, liked, etc., etc. And just tell me on the email, title it 98 Not Out Birthdays. And tell me whose birthday it is. If you want to tell me how old they are, you can do that as well. And I will add those people's names to the birthday list.
Across Brentwood and Billericay, this is Phoenix FM.
Right, I'll take a breath. Debbie, how are you?
I'm very good, thank you. I've had four fabulous days at the cricket this week.
It has been amazing. And I think right across, I've been driving the last 2 days. So I've had it on in the car and sort of getting sort of updates from all the other games and sort of flicking around. It's great that I've got this voice control in the car, which I'm just getting used to. So you can just say, tell BBC Sounds to play me Essex versus Durham or Kent versus whatever, or Middlesex versus Dublin, anything.
And Sussex versus Leicestershire, hopefully.
We'll talk about that in a minute. We'll talk about it in a minute. But as you say, it's been a fantastic round of county championship games. You kind of just, it almost makes you just want to, we lose momentum. We had the first round of games, we had a gap, now we're back with these last two. There's going to be another gap, and then we're sort of at the fag end of the season until the bulk of the action concludes.
Yeah, madness, isn't it? Flies by, we wait for it all through the winter, and then it flies by once it's here.
I know. And, you know, I think there's a bigger discussion to be had. I mean, looking at this T20 World Cup and the fixtures and some of the logic that's going on, I cannot fathom. I've had someone explain to me today about why there isn't a reserve day for a World Cup semi-final, but I still don't buy it. And the fact that they're playing this tournament at the wrong time of the year in the wrong part of the world. You know, normally when there's cricket, I've been to World Cups in the West Indies before, and they've been heaving. But they've been held in sort of February, March, when you should do. You can't go, expect people to travel to the Caribbean now.
To sit in the rain, not really, can you?
I know. So I don't get it. And I think top to bottom, whether it's World Cups, whether it's international teams, whether it's test tours, whatever, coming all the way down to domestic scheduling, everything just seems to, the priorities are all wrong. I mean, like here, everything is based around 100. And so all of our other cricket has got to make way to have the 100 played during the school holidays.
Yep. And I've had some interesting conversations about that this week, of course, at the cricket.
Good. Good. All right. Well, let's just catch our breaths a little bit. This first track is requested by you. It's Teddy Swims, Lose Control. Do you want to just tell us why you've asked for this one?
Well, do you know, he came to me through Instagram, and I went to a concert the other week. And how can I forget his name? But he was playing this as an introduction to the Bradley Jaden, who is an amazing stage artist. And he had this music playing while we were waiting for him to come on. And the guy's just wonderful. I love him. He's got a fabulous voice.
Teddy Swims and Lose Control.
Something's got a hold on me lately. No, I don't know myself anymore. Feels like the walls are all closing in and the devil's knocking at my door. Whoa, out of my mind. How many times did I tell you I'm no good at being alone? Yeah, it's taking a toll on me. Trying my best to keep from tearing the skin off my bones. Don't you know?
Can't you see? I lose control. my friend Darren has allowed me to come on to his fantastic Phoenix 98 FM show to talk about the July issue of the Cricketer magazine, which is out now. Mike Brearley hopes West Indies can give England a good battle this summer. David Gower says the ICC should help West Indies more. We have George DeBell previewing the series. We have Richard Sydenham talking to the players who appeared in that fantastic 1984 Lords Test match. And we talk to friends of Jimmy Anderson. That's the July issue of the Cricketer magazine, out now.
Hi, this is Paul Golder asking you to tune into Resurrection every Friday evening from 8pm until 10. The best in Indian alternative music, old and new. Live sessions, interviews with local, unsigned and signed artists. Great new Indian alternative releases and classics from the 90s and zeros as well. All on Resurrection, 8 o'clock every Friday. See you there.
Every Wednesday on Phoenix 98 FM at 7pm, it's the Orient Hour, bringing you the news, views and special guest interviews from the Breyer Group Stadium, Brisbane Road. Join us every Wednesday at 7pm on Phoenix 98 FM for the Orient Hour.
Not Out, sponsored by Shepherd Neame, proud supporters of cricket in Essex.
Make sure you listen to those fantastic shows here on Phoenix FM. And a special thank you to Andy Gilson of the Orient Hour for bringing in chockies and decent ones as well for a change, Andy. We appreciate that. Not the usual cheap stuff you get from the car boot sale. Yes, Debbie and I are very much enjoying the Kit Kats and the McVitie's Golds. I haven't
very
seen those
nice
for a long time.
Like Caramac.
Oh, cool. Chocolate bars we've forgotten.
From our youth, yes.
Aztecs. Yeah. Lion bars.
Yeah, well, Lion bars still exist,
still
but just much smaller, I think.
They all are. Shrink.
Yeah.
So, and before those adverts, you heard Teddy Swims. And while it was playing, I was just sort of talking to Debbie and just saying, to me, it sounds very much like Terrence Trent D'Arby. And if anyone's saying, who's that, ask your granddad. Terrence Trent D'Arby was a very... He had a real sort of flash of... fame in the mid-80s.
Yeah, one really strong album, and that was it. I hope this listen to the rest of the album if you like that, because that's the well-known song. Mm. The rest of the album's fabulous. It's really, really good.
Excellent. Now, let's just have a quick roundup of news going from around the cricket. Well, there hasn't been any more play in the England game.
There has not. On my way in, the radio said the rain has stopped, but it's very wet, as is likely to happen in the rainy season in that area.
It's where the Mutus are from, Georgetown, Guyana.
Right, so the
I actually
Mutus
own a house
know.
Out there. I own a house out there. Yeah, I've been to it once a long time ago, and it's an old chattel house on stilts where the family kind of all grew up, including my dad, before he came over to London in the 1960s. But yeah, that has been handed down, and apparently it's now mine.
Wow, lovely.
Yeah.
You won't be going in the rainy season, though, will you?
Well, it's on stilts, so it's all right. Yeah. It's all right. So I think 8 overs have been bowled. They need, in this, because it's a semi-final, they need 10 overs for there to be a match. So whatever happens, there's plenty of time. I think it's 4:20 local time, which is 9:20 our time here this evening. So they've probably got about another 3 hours to... get a game on.
And actually, this was why this one didn't have an extra day, wasn't it? Because they could go on longer in the day, where the other one was a night game, wasn't it?
Yeah, that's right.
And obviously you can't play cricket till 1 o'clock in the morning, can you?
No, and that's one of the things that, again, we were talking about scheduling earlier on, and a lot of these games have either been early in the morning on a working day, so, you can't get along, or they finish well past midnight, and, by the time... The organiser, it's typical. If you've never been to the Caribbean, you've got to understand that when you go to the Caribbean, wherever it is, Barbados, Jamaica, whatever, there is sort of like the Caribbean approach.
Caribbean time.
Yeah. and I heard about games finishing at sort of gone midnight, and then there was a park and ride there to assist things, but the park and ride was taking ages to get going.
Nightmare. Yeah, not much fun, is it?
No, you want to schedule games, and I get that this is... the thing being levelled is it's all about capturing the Indian TV audience.
Yep.
which is fine, and I get that in this day and age, and this seems to have been a growing factor probably over the last 10, 20 years with the emergence of T20, that the TV audience becomes part and parcel. But I would suggest, if you are watching this, wherever you are in the world, you want to see not only an exciting game of cricket, but you want some atmosphere. You don't really want to turn on the TV and see an empty stadium and no real atmosphere.
Not ideal, is it?
No, no. I mean, you think of the great cricket matches, not only white ball, but red ball as well, down the years, particularly the Ashes stuff.
Yeah.
You want them played in front of, you know, frenzied fans packed to the rafters.
Yep. As it was last summer.
Yeah, that's right. That's yep. right. And pretty much every summer here. I mean, we yep. don't have that problem here.
No, we don't. Well, we do have the problem with rain at any time of year, but this was a known factor, wasn't it? That's the thing. We can have rain at any time. I can remember nearly getting washed away in a 50-over match, I think, year before last at Essex.
Yeah.
The rain was... It went through my umbrella. It was raining so much.
So. I've got an umbrella like that. But yeah, you're right. And actually, well, I mean, we're all sitting here and listening, being very romantic about all of this, but remember the rain ruined the Ashes last summer.
The rain was a very big factor. Yeah, I got soaking wet on the Sunday, was it, at Edgbaston? I think, yeah.
Headingley, there was rain that sort of pushed or forced what was going on. And was it Old Trafford?
I think we were on to win one, weren't we? And the rain had a big say in it. Yeah, it is upsetting.
Lords was good fun, though.
I didn't go to Lords. I'm very glad, because I'd have ended up arguing with lots of people if I'd gone to Lords.
I've never known a test atmosphere anywhere, let alone Lords, quite like it was. The Saturday, I've never seen so many people at Lords. It was incredible. I couldn't get a seat anywhere. And just even wandering around the perimeter, it was, you know, you were just in a sea of people. Then, of course, on the Sunday, the famous Sunday with the...
When Johnny walked out of his wicket, let's be honest.
Yeah, and he did, you know, he did do wrong.
Yes, he did.
But the reaction God, the noise in the ground was just... absolutely unbelievable.
This is Phoenix 98 FM.
Now, I should... we did get the news last week, but it was too late for us when we went on air. But former England and Gloucestershire fast bowler David Sid Lawrence has been diagnosed with motor neurons disease. Mm-hmm. The 60-year-old played 5 test matches for England and took 625 wickets in 280 matches during a 16-year career at Gloucestershire that ended in 1997. He became Gloucestershire's president in 2022, a role that he will continue to hold until his term ends. Everyone at the club is devastated to hear the news from David Lawrence and his MND diagnosis, Gloucestershire Chief Executive Will Brown said. David is an icon of the game, a club legend, and a trailblazer as the first British-born black player to play for England. More than that, he's the best of people, kind, loving, considerate, and an inspiration to all of us here at Gloucestershire. And lots of well wishes have been sent, and I'll add my name to that, and 19 out of Phoenix FM. And motor neuron disease, it's horrible, but we wish David Lawrence, Sid Lawrence, do you know why he's called Sid?
I do not.
Well, David Lawrence is his name. In the 60s and 70s, when sort of big bands were popular over here, Sid Lawrence was a band leader. It was the Sid Lawrence Orchestra that used to back people like Tom Jones and Cliff Richard and Cilla Black. And that's where the nickname is Sid Lawrence.
Uh-huh.
And the one thing that I remember Sid for was, I think it was in New Zealand, or it might have been Australia, where he snapped his kneecap.
Oh, my goodness.
On the bowling in his bowling, where his front leg went down and this crack rung out like you've never heard before. And I need to say he went down like a proverbial. He was out for ages. I'm not sure that he ever really recovered from that, but he was out for a long time and it was a really serious, horrible thing.
I actually put some photos onto the Essex Facebook group this week of actually Aaron Beard bowling.
The pressure
that bowlers put on their body is incredible. It's a wonder they're not more injuries to their knees. And I'm sure, actually, as they get older, they must be really in a lot of difficulty at quite a young age, I would think, lots of cricketers.
Yeah, and I think also this has been something that's been looked at, but it seems to me that in the last 20 years or so, there have been a higher occurrence of stress fractures knee injuries. Because and there were a great set of photos that you put up. I saw those. And Beardy himself has had problems down the years with
He's
injury.
Had a stress fracture problem, hasn't he, with his back?
Yeah. And I think it's due to that. And it seems to me as well that there's been a change in action. In when I was learning cricket, when you were bowling, it was a side on, you know, you ran up. As you sort of went into your delivery leap or whatever, you then went side on, your right leg went parallel to the popping crease, and then your front leg came down and you sort of bowled through the, through your body. But there seems to have been a recent trend, and the first time I really noticed it was with Freddie Flintoff in the 2005 Ashes series, where he's bowling absolutely front on.
Yep.
The trouble with that, though, as you say, it puts different kinds of stresses through your body, particularly on the knees.
Yeah, incredible stresses.
And that's why you see quite often now when you're watching cricket, they'll talk about people's actions, or they'll show an action from 2 years ago, they will show the current action. They might show where they've sort of changed things.
Where they've tried to review it. So actually, when you look at Bumrah, who I have to say is one of, if not the best bowler in the world, his action, fascinating.
Yeah.
From the side, because it all seems to come from his arm, doesn't it? He almost ambles. Ambles up to the wicket, doesn't he? So hopefully he doesn't end up with the same sort of injuries from his bowling.
No, indeed. So at the T20 World Cup, we've had a semi-final in the early hours today, and quite an amazing game. South Africa ended their run of semi-final heartache by thrashing Afghanistan to reach their first men's T20 World Cup final. Amazing for South Africa, because they have kind of been the bridesmaids so often at World Cups, whether it's 20 overs or 50 overs down the years. But they are there. They are in the final in Barbados on Saturday. The Proteas, who had failed to progress from all seven of their previous World Cup semi-finals across all formats, dismissed Afghanistan for just 56 in 11 overs and 5 balls on a difficult pitch, more about that in a minute, on their way to a 9-wicket win in Trinidad. It offered excessive seam movement and bounce to the pace bowlers, at times dangerously so, with the South Africa also struggling in their chase. Now, again, another feature of this tournament has been the quality of the wickets. We saw in that pop-up stadium in New York where they sort of put in...
Dropping the wickets in, aren't they?
Yeah, and that was variable bounce, and it just didn't seem up to scratch. And, you know, here you are, World Cup semi-final. You would have thought you need to have a bit better than what was served up there. There's nothing wrong with the pitch offering a little bit of variation or, you know, moving off the seam, something like that. But when it was jagging around, and you could see that, you know, batters were a bit nervous to go on the front foot because they didn't know if it was going to come up and
smack them in the grill.
Or scuttle under the bat as a daisy cutter. So,
can we just give a word? We've congratulated South Africa, but wow for Afghanistan for getting to the semi-final.
Absolutely.
That's some story, isn't it, really?
That is. And for a country that has, well, we don't need to go into the problems of what's going on there, but just in cricketing terms, they have come so far. And I did see also a table in terms of their progress about all who they've beaten. It's not just minnows. I mean, they've got some quite big scalp.
Good for them. Brilliant.
So, yes, absolutely well done. Now, one of the surprise teams to go out of the World Cup, or maybe not get as far as was expected, was Sri Lanka. And the news has come through today that Chris Silverwood has resigned as the Sri Lanka men's head coach after 2 years in the job. I thought he'd done quite a decent...
Yeah, me too. That's a shame.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it is.
I hope he's got something else lined up. Well, indeed. Yeah.
Stay tuned,
listeners. That would be great if that were a possibility.
Silverwood was appointed in April 2022, initially on a two-year deal, which was extended to cover this month's World Cup in the West Indies and USA. But as I said, Sri Lanka failed to progress from the group stages after winning only one of their four games. Now, why Debbie and I are exchanging knowing looks across the desk is that there are, if you look at the Cricketer magazine, this in the current edition or on the website, there's an interview with Anthony McGrath, head coach at Essex, which if you've got a devious mind, you can interpret that he's maybe suggesting that this season will be his last at the Cloud County Ground. He hasn't explicitly said that, but it's set all kinds of things going. And if you look across any of the social media, which is always a lovely place to be, isn't it?
Oh, it's cricket social media. It just can be very delightful. I've never known such moany people as cricket fans. Oh, my goodness.
Whatever site, whatever county, wherever, it's just moaning.
This one should have played, that one should have played, this one shouldn't have bowled.
Why, oh, why, oh, why?
Yeah. Why didn't they bat to win, you know? Were you there? I don't think you were
no,
you? Making that comment.
So anyway, the rumour mill is set in place about, is Mags going to go? Is he going to stay? Whatever. Mags nor Essex have made any official comment on this. But some interesting rumours going around. Out of nowhere, Ryan Tendoscata has been seen regularly at home games. Now there's a fans and players' favourite.
Yes, interesting. There was a thought that he might not come back while there were players that he'd played with in the dressing room, but, you know, time will tell.
Yeah, and the team has... I mean, he's not been gone that... Has he been gone 3 years? 4 years, maybe?
No, I don't think as long as four. Three feels
that's
about right.
On three.
Yeah.
There's not... The team has changed quite a lot in that time.
It has. Like, you've probably got Sam Cook, Jamie Porter, Tom Wesley and Nick Brown, I would say.
Simon Harmer,
yeah.
Yeah.
And I guess, I mean, the young ones that are coming through were obviously coming through, but, yeah, so that's five, isn't it?
Mm. Will be interesting.
Will be interesting. You
see, and now Chris Silverwood is...
yeah, that's very interesting.
And we remember when Silvers was appointed by Ronnie Irani back in 2016.
And, wow, look at what happened from
when
there.
When Essex... For the previous few years, it's just been a kind of languishing in Division 2, not really doing anything, occasional bits of brilliance, but all of a sudden, Spoons arrives, we get promoted to Division 1, and then win the county championship at the first attempt.
Yeah.
And then go on a real glory trail of T20 championship again.
The Bob Willis Trophy.
Fantastic. Yeah. So we shall see. Okay, I mentioned that we've got a world exclusive tonight, Mr. Mark Butcher, everyone's favourite commentator and pundit. But he loves to twang his guitar on the quiet, and he's got a new album coming out. And this is taken from that album. This is Cold Eyes, Cold Heart.
Feel.
This is Phoenix 98 FM. Community radio for Brentwood and Billericay. This is Phoenix FM.
I'm John Sharma, inviting you to join me here on Phoenix FM on Saturday afternoons for Phoenix Sport. The top local, national and international sports stories, plus live scores, results, reports, interviews, quiz questions and my sporting anniversaries. And lots of great music too. That's Phoenix Sport, every Saturday from 3 till 6pm here on Phoenix 98 FM.
Tune into the Sunday Sessions on Phoenix FM every Sunday morning, 10 till 12, with me, Kevlar. I'll be bringing you tracks from local artists. Most of those tracks are recorded down at our open mic, which takes place every Monday at 8pm at the Essex Arms in Brentwood, right next door to Brentwood Station. Come along and just watch, or if you're a singer or songwriter, come along and sing us a song.
Sing, sing, sing.
It's me, Michelle Ward. A prawn cocktail.
I love a prawn cocktail.
I'm always rambling.
What is the mayor's chain called?
Chain.
In fact, I never stop talking. And I rubbed, basically, all of the skin off the inside of my thigh. You can answer my question of the day.
Michelle.
I think men go through the menopause from about the ages of 18 to 65. And after that, they die. Fantastic guests and super music. What am I lacking in the diet? Humour, really?
Yes.
Weekdays 10 till 1.
Gotta love Michelle Ward every weekday between 10 and 1. Very, very good daytime show. Before the ads, you heard Mark Butcher, and that track was called Cold Eyes, Cold Heart. It's taken from his upcoming third studio album, which I've got a couple of tracks from, which Mark has sent me very kindly. And they sound great. Debbie was just listening as well there.
Yeah, he's got a very good voice, hasn't he? I do like it.
Yeah, and if you follow him on Twitter, which I strongly suggest you do, at Mark Butcher Music, he will be announcing the release date of the album pretty soon. Right, back to the cricket, and let's have a look at county cricket. Now, inspired by football's non-league day, this upcoming Sunday is County Cricket Day. A special campaign set up to celebrate the essence of county cricket and encourage as many people as possible to attend a game on Sunday. And some really good games around as well. Various activities have been arranged at home venues with incentives including reduced price tickets. They vary across counties. Some of them are being super generous, others not quite so much, but everyone's pitching in. There will be things like reduced price tickets, children admitted for free, all aimed at boosting attendances. Alan Hyam, the National Coordinator of County Cricket Members Group, said, "Our core purpose is to ensure county cricket clubs thrive, so we are delighted to help launch County Cricket Day. County cricket has a unique charm and community spirit. Fans can watch world-class players like Jimmy Anderson, Joe Root." Because Jimmy hasn't played a county game this season.
He was at Kent, wasn't he? But I don't think he played. Yeah.
Jimmy Anderson, Joe Root, Ben Stokes and many others at a fraction of the price. It's like a test match, but more personal, with incentives that are great for all the family, with children having easy access for autographs, selfies and the ability to play on a world-class grounds at lunch. This event is a fantastic opportunity to showcase county cricket, and we believe it will inspire many more to support their teams and enjoy the rich heritage of the sport. Now, as I said, matches that you can attend on Sunday. Surrey versus Essex at the Oval. That's just going to be a cracker.
That's a very important match for the championship.
It is. That's the top two. Surrey are currently top. We'll talk about that in detail in a minute. But Surrey are doing, I believe, if you're a Surrey member, you can bring four guests along. For nothing.
Oh, wow, that's good.
Which is great. And Surrey have done a really good job so far this season of encouraging people to come down. I don't think there's been many days where there hasn't been a decent turnout down there, whether it's four-day cricket, white ball, whatever. The other games, Derbyshire versus Yorkshire, Lancashire versus Nottinghamshire, Leicestershire versus Middlesex, Gloucestershire versus Glamorgan, Northants versus Sussex, Hampshire versus Kent, Durham against Worcestershire, and Somerset against Warwickshire. Brilliant.
Yeah, some very good matchups there.
So get yourselves along. Get the games will be starting at 11 o'clock
yep.
on Sunday morning. The weather's looking pretty good. Probably not as hot as this, so, you know, quite comfortable, but there's no rain or anything forecast. Get yourselves down there, take the kids, take your mates, take the wife or the girlfriend or both.
Or the wife could take the husband or the boyfriend.
Yes, or the wife could take the wife.
Or the wife could take the wife. The wife
and the girlfriend. Come on, this is 2024, Deb. Indeed. But yes, get along. And I tell you what, even if you're thinking, oh, but England are playing football, they're not playing football till the evening. So go to the cricket, enjoy yourself.
Record the football.
I know. Haven't you learned your lessons about watching England in this tournament so far? Forget about it. Now, let's focus on the county championship. And let's start with the game that Debbie was talking about at the top of the hour. Amazing scenes down at Hove, where Sussex somehow clung on to beat Leicestershire, but the result was really passing in the details of what actually happened. Fast bowler, England fast bowler, Ollie Robinson, who's looking to get back into England contention with Jimmy Anderson stepping aside after the West Indies test. Robinson was hit for 43 runs by Lewis Kimber in the most expensive over in county championship history. Incredible.
Remarkable. I mean, that he he's not. You know, I pick out my century makers in each county championship round, and I'm not sure I've particularly picked him out.
He's a number eight.
Yeah. But wow, yeah, he broke so many records, didn't he?
Yeah, well, that was the thing. I mean, everyone was saying, how do you hit 43? You know, I thought it was 36, but Robinson was struck for 8 boundaries from 9 deliveries, 3 of which were off no balls.
Yeah.
We'll talk about no balls in a minute. by Leicestershire's Kimber in the fourth and final day of their match at Hove yesterday. Even though the 27-year-old Kimber rewrote several record books with an astonishing innings of 243, he came in a losing cause as Division 2 leader Sussex won a thriller by 18 runs. So these records that were broken, it was the highest score before lunch in a county championship history. It was the most runs in an over in county championship history. It's the highest ever score by a number eight in county championship history. It's the most sixes in an innings in county championship history.
Amazing. Was he the quickest 100 and the quickest double century? I think it was the quickest. It was the quickest 100, I think.
I think he just broke every single record. Even the 4-minute mile, I think he beat
incredible.
That as well.
Yeah incredible. Yeah.
But I'll tell you what, though, what I spotted. What is it about this fixture? What is it about Sussex against Leicestershire? Cast your mind back 12 months. Last season, Leicestershire needed 499 at Hove and were all out for 483.
Oh,
yesterday, it was 465 and they got 445.
Amazing. Yeah, wow.
So make a note of that fixture for 2025.
Get along to it next year.
Yeah. Now, back at the top of the table in Division 1, Surrey, who got hammered by Hampshire last time out. In fact, they were beaten by an innings.
Yeah, amazing.
But they bounced back. They beat Worcestershire by an innings and 5 runs. Surrey hit 490, which included 150 from Dan Lawrence, 86 from Smith. Sibley chipped in with 76, and even Ben Folkes got 52. Then Dan Lawrence also took 3 wickets, and then Jordan Clark a 5 when it was Surrey's turn to field. To be fair, the pairs were hit by injuries, and they were without several star players, including Brett D'Oliveira, Joe Leach, Ben Gibbon, Yadavinder Singh, and Adam Finch.
And Dan Lawrence, he actually scored 175, but he equaled the previous record for the most runs off and over.
That's right.
Yeah, with 38, wasn't it, I think?
Yeah, which was
five wides, I think, was included in that.
Yeah. Before that, it was Alex Tudor, wasn't it?
Yeah, and I have to say, his sixes were effortless, absolutely effortless.
Yeah.
Fabulous.
Yes.
Just please don't do it. He can give that a miss, give that a miss in the next fixture.
Well,
I fancy that's
a kind of a one-off. You'll never see that again.
Hope not.
Ben Slater's 168 secured Nottinghamshire a draw with Somerset on a lifeless pitch in the county championship clash at Trent Bridge. Only one wicket fell in 72 overs on the final day, with overseas batter Will Young making 68 not out after Ollie Stone had been out for 63, 9 overs after lunch. There was too little in the pitch to encourage much interest for the bowlers, however, and it was hardly surprising that Nottinghamshire showed no interest in setting Somerset a target, given that their prospects of taking 10 wickets were almost non-existent. The 13 points that Nottingham should take ensure they remain a comfortable distance from the relegation places in Division 1, while Somerset's 15 keeps them third. Now, I've just noticed something as well. Just going back to that Surrey versus Worcestershire game.
Yep.
I'm stato today. I'm spotting things,
what
right?
What spotted?
I spotted that Ben Allison, on loan from Essex.
Yeah, he took the two very key wickets.
He took... But he was out.
Hope and Lawrence, off, didn't he?
But when Ben Allison was batting, who got him out?
Well, that I didn't spot, actually. Oh, Dan Lawrence.
And who got Dan Lawrence out?
Yeah, he got Dan Lawrence out at last.
The Essex connection. I bet they had a good laugh about that after the game. Well, Warwickshire's last pair, Sam Hain and Ollie Hannan-Dolby, batted for the final five overs as the Bears escaped with a draw against Hampshire. Having resumed on 40 for one, it looked as though the hosts were heading for a dismal defeat when they slumped to 123 for six, but not to be. Lancashire routed Kent by an innings and 83 in their county championship showdown at Canterbury. The visitors bowled Kent out for 2-2-2. That's a Richie Beno. In their second innings. I can't say 2-2-2 without putting a slight strain. with Will Williams taking 3 for 26 and Tom Bailey 3 for 36. Charlie Stobo made the highest first class score of made his highest first class score of 64, but the hosts were all out after 30 overs and two balls on day 4. The result dramatically increases Lancashire's chance of avoiding the drop, while Kent remain anchored to the foot of the table.
All is not quite right there, I think.
No, it's not. It's not. Let's see if they can turn it around and avoid the drop. But, yeah, big teams down at the that bottom end of the table in Division 1. So look at the table after 8 matches, and Surrey remain top with 137 points. Essex second on 125 points. This is all ahead of this massive game at the Oval on Sunday. Somerset are third on 114 points. So let's talk Essex, Debbie.
Let's talk Essex.
So, on paper, a draw.
Yeah.
But
Durham are a very good team. They're a very good batting team. They've got any number of batters that can actually get a century. I mean, last year when I was doing my reports, there was generally at least one, and it was often a different player each week, actually, that got the century. And they batted fantastically in their first innings. Ollie Robinson was sublime. His innings
the other
was,
Ollie Robinson.
Yeah, what was funny, someone said to me, I wondered why he didn't bowl. I thought he was a bit small. He's a bit smaller than I thought he was. But he, I'm a an Essex fan, but I was actually gutted for him when he was out for 198. He really deserved a double century mark.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, you have to appreciate good play when you see it.
Yeah, he was very good.
And yeah, and a lot of complaints on social media. There were a lot of grumpy people around at Chelmsford over the last couple of days. Firstly, people saying, "Oh, why didn't they go for it?" But
because they'd have probably lost.
Yes, you would have opened the door for Durham.
Yeah,
and I think it was really important. I think, as you said on social media, it's really important to keep pace with Surrey.
Yeah, you've got to stay in touch with them.
Because if they'd have lost, if they lost the game in going for it, well, one, I can imagine now the outcry on social media.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. But also, it would have really opened a gap at the top of the table. And on Sunday, if Surrey beat Essex on Sunday, then that gap starts to look almost too big.
Yeah, it does. I mean, the one element I did find very strange is that Scott Borthwick's declarations were on point last year. He was amazing, really, and his declarations helped them absolutely smash Division 2. But I actually felt he either needed to get us to follow on, or he should have declared a bit earlier to give them maybe 20 overs at us.
Yeah, on the end of day 3.
Yeah, on the end of day 3. I think he'd forgotten Dean Algar was going to be batting. And Dean Algar can bat long.
He can bat quickly as well, as we've seen in the Blast as well.
Yeah, he's been fabulous in the Blast.
His 50th first-class century, as he and Tom Wesley dropped anchor. I mean, it was a real masterclass in concentration.
It was one for the purists, that's for sure.
Yeah, yeah. I thought the commentary, I was listening to it on the radio in the car, and the commentators were being a bit unfair and complaining how boring the whole thing was. But
do you know, I didn't find it boring at all. I absolutely loved it. I didn't overly much like the clapping by Durham.
No.
That was, it probably annoyed me more than our batters, I think. But
and there was someone from the crowd.
Yeah, who was really ridiculous.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, and a word about new signing Ethan Bosch in the wicket straight away.
Yeah, first over. A wicket. Looks quite decent.
Yeah. So we look forward to a massive game on Sunday at the Oval. Now, away from the away from Essex, former India captain Ajinkya Rahane has again signed for Leicestershire for their defence of the One Day Cup. The 36-year-old was first recruited by the Foxes last summer, but never made an appearance for the county as he opted out of the deal. Bit strange, that one.
Yeah, that is odd.
But he is now set to feature for the club in the 50-over competition starting in late July, with his stint in the East Midlands also taking in five county championship matches.
Wow, that's fabulous for the game in this
Leicestershire's
country.
A really good place at the moment.
Oh, it really is. I mean, I couldn't be happier for Rishi Patel, ex of Essex. He got the quickest 100 in T20, didn't he, last week?
He did. And
He's got a 100 gig, yeah.
Yeah. Is it Birmingham?
Not sure where he's
Phoenix
going.
Or something, I think.
Yeah, that will maybe affect their 50-over situation. But
maybe, but well
Peter,
done.
They've got Peter Hanscom, haven't they, who's a lovely cricketer. Yeah.
That's right. Now, we keep talking on this show about getting down and supporting cricket. If you're at loose end tomorrow, get yourselves over to Chelmsford. The England under-19s side are facing Sri Lanka under-19s in an ODI. Now, that under-19 squad has some interesting names in it.
Oh, it has one in particular. No pressure on Mr. Flintoff, but...
Andrew, Freddie Flintoff's son, Rocky, is playing in that, as is Archie Vaughan, son of Michael Vaughan. So there'll be two big names to look out for. I think both of them have got great futures. So that's Chelmsford tomorrow in ODI. The second and third games are at Hove on Monday and Wednesday. Wednesday also sees a match between the First Class County Select 11 against the West Indies. That's down at Beckenham. That'll be a great occasion, so get yourselves along to that. Quickly whizzing through the Essex Premier League, I've just noticed what the time is. Brentwood beat Hutton by 7 wickets, chasing the visitors' target of, chasing down the target of 218 for 9. Skipper Aaron West took 5 for 55 before scoring 51 with the bat. Brentwood 20 points, Hutton 7 points. Buckhurst Hill decided to bowl against Chingford. They got 240 for 7 off 59 overs. Peter McDermott scoring 109 not out in reply. Buckhurst Hill got 203 for 9 off 52. But time was against the result and the match was ended as a draw, with Chingford getting 13 points, Buckhurst Hill 8. Colchester travelled down the A12 to Chelmsford and decided to bat, but were all out for 116 off 40 overs and 4 balls. Ben Waring, the pick of the Chelmsford bowlers, taking 5 for 18 off 10 overs and 4 balls. Chelmsford struggled in the chase and lost 7 wickets, with openers Jack Sterling and Dan Hagen the only ones to score more than 20, but they did enough to win by 3 wickets. So Chelmsford take 20 points, Colchester and East Essex 3 points. Loughton had a bat against Hadley but were bowled out for 241. Sam Hadley took 5 for 71 and Nick Gibb 4 for 42. An impressive 125 from Hadley opener Jack Wagstaff, son of Jonathan, who's well known in cricketing circles around these parts, led the victory charge for Hadley and Thundersley to grab 20 points to Loughton's 8 points. And Wanstead hosted Hornchurch, who elected to bat, scoring 244 for 8 off 64 overs. There were 50s for opener Jalpesh Vijay and captain Billy Gordon. In reply, Wanstead led by Kishan Vellani, once of Essex, and Robin Das, a future Essex star, got them home in the 50th over. Wanstead 20 points, Hornchurch 8 points. So Chelmsford are top after 7 games on 118 points. Brentwood are second on 107 and Colchester third on 102. Chingford remained bottom on 44 points, 21 points behind Hadley. Now on Saturday, fixtures are Buckhurst Hill against Loughton, Chingford against Brentwood, Hadley and Thundersley versus Wanstead and Snaresbrook. Hornchurch play Chelmsford and Hutton entertain Colchester. We are out of time. Debbie, many, many thanks for joining.
The T20's back on, by the way. India 109 for 2.
Fantastic. Off how many overs?
Off 7.1 remaining.
Cool. Right, stay tuned. Andy Furno is next with her cool, soulful Thursday. Gareth Williams is here at 8 with Bumper to Bumper. And then Madeline Christie is here with the night shift 10 until midnight. I'll be back next Thursday, 6 till 7. Hope to catch you then. Take care.
I was the kind who gave up easily. But when the future cleared from view, you kept me at the front of your mind. How they go unnoticed. The small things you do. The nights up beside me till I